and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming ABC on the Civic News, Media
I'm Dave
app.
Packer. The penalty phase of a fraud lawsuit against former President Trump is underway in New York. It accuses him of overvaluing his properties in order to get better rates on loans and insurance. He calls it a scam. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is threatening to take steps to remove Kevin McCarthy as speaker after he worked with Democrats on a stopgap spending bill to avoid a government shutdown.
It is becoming increasingly clear who the Speaker of the House already works for, and it's not the Republican conference.
Gaetz stopped short of calling for a vote. LaFonza Butler will be sworn in, tomorrow's newest member of the U.S. Senate. California Governor Gavin Newsom nominated her to replace the late Dianne Feinstein. Butler will be the only black woman serving in the Senate. Drones, bloodhounds, and an airboat are included in the search for a 9-year-old girl who went missing while on a camping trip with her family in upstate New York. Police believe she was abducted and is in imminent danger of serious harm. This is ABC News. A first-of-its-kind fentanyl murder conviction in Texas.
After 15 people had died of fentanyl overdoses in a 7-month span, the district attorney in Wichita County, Texas, population 130,000, made a promise to the community.
If you were selling fentanyl, we would come after you. We would hunt you down.
Assistant DA Dobie Kosob went after Jacinto Jimenez, who had provided a fentanyl-laced tablet to a man who overdosed and died. The jury has convicted the 22-year-old of murder.
They said with this 45-year sentence, they are fed up with this. They are not willing to tolerate it.
Jimenez will be eligible for parole in 2045. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The French government vowing to deal with the widespread rise of bed bugs in Paris ahead of next summer's Olympics. Bed bugs have been reported at the city's main airport and on its subway system. The mayor is calling on the prime minister to organize a conference on battling the bed bugs. Tonight's Powerball jackpot has soared past $1 billion. It's now the 9th largest lottery prize ever. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin cybersecurity will improve thanks to a collaboration between the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs Division of Wisconsin Emergency Management. According to a WEAU report, the university and WEM will work to improve the state's cyber response team training program. The cyber response team is a voluntary group of members and cyber incident responders. The improvements will come by supporting cyber research projects and educating public and private sectors on cybersecurity threats. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will hold a virtual public meeting to discuss proposed changes to the state's wild bait harvest regulations. The proposed rule changes would revise wild bait harvest permit specifications for licensed bait dealers and revise regulations for the harvest of minnows for personal use from certain waters that are currently closed to all minnow harvest. The meeting will be held via Zoom on Thursday, November 2nd at 5:30 p.m. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Under the helmet with the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Jordan Love was 15 for 27 for 245 yards and 3 TDs against a JV team.
Oh, my and, God. I mean, I don't like Chicago, but I ain't going to call them a JV team. They suck, but it's a slap in the face. Okay. I'm laughing at y'all Bear fans.
I know, man.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger with Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday mornings at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It is just south of 50th and France at Edina. Again, greatwalledina.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett here today. Michael Broadcorp will join us. We'll talk Vikings because he is our Vikings correspondent, and he lived for that, and that's cool. But we'll also talk to him a little bit about Dean Phillips and what he thinks is going on there as well. Hi, Brett. How are we today?
I'm doing all right. Looking forward to hearing from Michael now that the Vikings are in the win column for once.
We'll save it. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did, yeah. Got outside. Beautiful weather out there. And
beautiful? What are you talking about? It was August 3rd out there this weekend.
You didn't enjoy that at all?
You want to know the truth? No, I didn't because it's October. You know, it's October. I do not live in Texas. I do not live in Missouri. I live in Minnesota. And at this point of the year, it should be about 58 to 65 degrees. Cool winds. The things starting to change, leaves changing. I went to the apple orchard yesterday. I was sweating like a horse out there, man. This is not fun. This is hot. This sucks. Oh, God. I mean, so one of the great things, one of the great elements of life, I think, is the ability to pull an ice cold apple off a tree in fall. When they're hot, they're not as good. It's a hot apple. It's not a cooked apple. It's just a hot apple. I had hot apples. Obviously you got to eat when you're going down the line to pick apples. But I had hot apples, man. What you have no problem with this? You look around and it's like, no, I'm okay with postponing fall for a few more weeks.
Well, I'm not thrilled about it, but I'll take advantage of the weather while we'll have it. But I know it's certainly unseasonably warm. I think Sven just said this was the hottest September we've ever experienced in Minnesota. So there's a downside, certainly, but I guess I can get outside. But it comes at a cost.
It does. And I am just of the mindset that, I mean, we're going to talk, obviously, this hour about the Twin Cities Marathon. That's going to be, obviously, a topic du jour. But this is starting to cost us. We don't have as long as an ice fishing season or a snowmobile season. And frankly, if Minnesota doesn't have a long winter here, there's a lot of sports producers, a lot of companies that make winter gear that their market becomes basically the Rocky Mountains and Canada. And that's a problem. It really is disappointing to me the volume of people that still, and I know you are just putting a bright sunshine on a nice warm day. I know that. You're not a climate change denier. You're not. You are very clearly said on this show, and when you filled in for us and for me on this show, you've talked multiple times about climate change is real, and for goodness sakes, we should do something about it, right?
Well, just wait till Friday when we're like in the 50s and I'll say, where's your climate change now, McNeil?
Because that's normal. The only reason it feels cool is because it was tropics here on Monday. I went hiking at the one of the parks, a new one. I forgot. How did I miss this one? It's up on the Mississippi River right across from Coon Rapids and Brooklyn Park. And I went up there and hiked around. Gorgeous. Lovely. They actually have a dam you can walk across. It's on the river. We were out in the sun. That felt like the hottest day of the summer on Saturday. Like I said, went apple picking yesterday, and I'll get more to that in a second, but just was, I mean, I've been dealing with this allergy thing. I did yard work for the first time really all summer long. And it wasn't summer, it's fall. For the first time on this, I did the yard. I went out there and I trimmed, did some hedges, did some gardening and stuff like this. That Thursday night I came in, I was like, ugh, I could already start feeling it was in the back of my, the allergies were going to kick in. And they really kicked in for the weekend. And so that kind of, I mean, me just going out to the apple orchard yesterday, I was wiped out. I've been basically in bed since, yeah, I got back from the apple orchard, surrounded by my apples, of course. You know, my little minions, my little troop now, my little army of apples. But still, it wiped me out. Oh, it's not good. Although I will say this, hot or no, the apple orchard is just, that's just fall fun right there. Went out there. I did not do the slide. They have a giant slide there now. My wife and my daughter did it. I got, because of my back now basically being, you know, C-3PO, I cannot do stuff like that anymore. But I got to watch that. I got to feed a donkey. I got to see a llama fall in love with my Sheltie, which was really weird. Oh, you could tell that llama was smitten.
These both beat the going down the slide, I think.
Well, it was. I mean, you know, unrequited romance is quite the attraction, if you ask me. I go up to the llama, and the llama's like looking, and of course, every animal out there is like, "You got an apple?" You know, and that's the entire. These are not thin animals. They have been getting their share. And he's looking at me, and all of a sudden he turns his head, and he sees, and his you can see the ears perk up. He's looking down at my little Sheltie, who doesn't want anything to do with it. I mean, it's just, you know, if this is reminiscent of my high school dating days, I don't know what is. But, I mean, falls instantly in love with my Sheltie. And you could tell, he just, everywhere my Sheltie went, he just was following, like, who is this magnificent beast? Now, my dog wasn't barking or anything. It was like, that wasn't like, I'm scared to death. That was my college days. But that being said, it was... Sorry, it was lovely to have the unrequited romance and sweet tangos. I got my tang. I went down to Sweet Tangos. They had the Sweet Tangos in. This is, by the way, Fall Harvest Orchard, the only one I know that has Sweet Tangos. Mwah, I love you. They had the Sweet 16s too. Got some of the Honeycrisps. Just good fun. The Honeycrisp trees, man. You better get out there now because most of those trees were empty. I mean, we were walking in, you know, 90 degree balmy heat in October through the orchards all the way to the like the last trees you possibly could get to, so we could go get our Honeycrisps. And yeah, it was delightful. That, yeah, it looked like I was working the yard. I mean, all of a sudden, apple picking takes a new turn when all of a sudden it's not this cool, relaxing affair, but it's like, man, this is work. God, you should be getting paid for this or something. This is horrible.
Eventually, they'll have to put cooling stations at the apple orchards now. Mm.
You know what this heat has done? More wasps. Oh, can't beat the wasp, man. All over the place. Waspy bee. We got some mini donuts. Delicious. Just, you know, it was like we opened a hive. I mean, that's, you know, you had to be careful when you're grabbing the donuts out of there, and you had to be careful before you put that sucker in your mouth because they were resilient. Got a little apple cider, delicious apple cider to have a little drink of. They were kind of trying to go into the cup the entire time. The good news is young kids came in there soon and we just threw them at the wasp and they were fine. You know, was, look, their flesh is young and smells sweet. Off you go, wasp. Have a nice time, kids. Enjoy the hay castle. No, it was good time. If you get a chance, I still think it's one of my favorite things to do all season long is apple picking. And so if you get the chance to head on out and do so, Fall Harvest Orchard is good, but it is busy. All of them are now. All of them are just packed to the gills. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I want to weigh in on the cancellation of the Twin Cities Marathon. Now, I have not run a marathon, okay? I've not. I ran when I was in the military. The longest run I ever did was a 10K, which is basically 6.26 miles. And so I did that. I've known plenty of people that run marathons. I know my wife actually ran the Twin Cities Marathon about 20 years ago. So she's maybe a little bit longer than that, but she ran the Twin Cities Marathon. I know what it is to take to training. I know what it is to get ready for it. I understand that this is something that you're looking forward to. And one of the things that should not be forgotten is that this is a marathon that a lot of people use to qualify to get into the Boston Marathon or some of the other marathons. You need to get a certain run time to qualify for other marathons. And so this is one that they use. I think the collective mentality we can have is that, darn, this got canceled thanks to climate change. I'll add that part in there for all the Republicans in the back row who are plugging their fingers in the air, acting as if it's four seasons. It's summer and winter, fall and spring. That's the climate change. No. 89 degrees, or was it 93 yesterday was the official temperature? Was that 93 yesterday?
Was the official? If we get into the 90s, it was definitely upper 80s.
I thought some people were saying 90s. Ugh. It was that was climate change. This is something I've watched with a front row seat, all of us have, in our lifetimes. It's climate change. And it's cost the Twin Cities a substantial amount of money. And you might be one of those right-wing jerks who's like, it's not my community, I don't care. Because you're the same ones who, we had flooding, the Twin Cities metro area needs us, we need them to give us our taxpayer dollars to help us. You know, that sort of thing. This is a bad sign. Frustrations all abound, undeniably. But I think we have to step back here. And the first thing I want to do is I want to just address the marathon itself. In my lifetime, we have a cabin. It's a one-season cabin up north in northern Minnesota, north of Virginia. We used to have groups go in there from basically the end of June till mid-August. The reason why people did not go in at any other time was because it was generally too cold. You would get a very decent chance of, if especially back, you know, not that long ago in early June, a below freezing possible low temperature. And of course, once it starts cooling down in northern Minnesota, it starts cooling down quick. And so by Labor Day, it, you know, there were some years where it was downright cold up there. And people who are looking to take a summer vacation, especially back then where you took kind of one big summer vacation and you drove someplace and you visited, you generally didn't want to necessarily take it to where you were not going to be able to kind of enjoy the lake. My dad was the first one to recommend. He goes, you know, Matt, you're from Minneapolis, so you're going to be more tolerant towards these temperatures than most other people that would be coming up here. Why don't you start coming up here in mid-June or so? To which I did. I started going up there in mid-June, and it was only 1 year was it really cold. Only 1 year was it really cold. We had one rainy year, but it wasn't really that cold. We had most of the times it's 70 degrees, sunny skies, perfect. Just absolutely perfect. That was 20 years ago. Now we have families that are coming in late May, and they're coming in all the way up to Labor Day, and even we've had one person request if they could possibly come in after that. That is not normal. In my lifetime, I've seen what was basically a maybe 2 month use cabin become a 3.5 to 4 month use cabin because of climate change. End of story. End of discussion. It's getting warmer. It's getting undeniably warmer. The Twin Cities Marathon was placed here in this first Sunday of October because it was reliably somewhat cool. And still, I mean, next year we could end up having a 54 degree day near perfect running temperature. But I think that if you really want to be safe, your best bet is to get to the second Sunday of October. And that's just to keep safe. I think you might actually want to go to the third Sunday of October if you want to know the truth. Because I think within 10 years, the second Sunday in October is going to be too damn hot to run that race on a consistent basis. And so, yeah, this is where I think you need to go. I think you need to look at the third Sunday of October. That's when you run the race. And yeah, that could be a really cold day. Might even get a morning where you're in the low 40s when you start off. Well, I don't think the marathoners are going to get too upset about that, frankly. They seem to do okay in the colder weather. Boston is in April, isn't it? It's Boston Marathon. They run that is in conjunction with a Red Sox game. It's like April, early April. It can't be too warm out there. Well, so, you know, and you know, if they're having the same problem we are, maybe it is. I also want to make this plea to the runners of the Twin Cities Marathon. This is not necessarily your fault. Now, I'm going to come back after the break, and I'm going to talk a little bit about both sides of this argument of should they or shouldn't they have. I'll get to that here in a second. But regardless of that debate, the thing was canceled. Twin Cities Marathon, if you want this marathon to survive, you had better refund everyone as much money as you can. Story today is the Grandma's Marathon had the record number of signups. Why? Because people are saying, can we trust the Twin Cities Marathon to even run at this point? And yeah, that's a bad reputation to get. So my suggestion would be apologies. I'm sorry. Say what you need to say and write them their checks back and say, you know what? Let's try this again next year. Maybe even if you are registered to run in 2023, you get a discount on your membership, on your entry fee in 2024. My suggestion, because there are a lot of really angry runners at you right now. So, you know, like the hornets I threw young children at the apple orchard this weekend, you win over more hornets with the kids have been eating a lot of candy. They got sticky fingers. The bees love them. You win over more bees with honey than you do vinegar. There you go. There's the adage. So get your honey out, man. Give them their checks back. Offer them a rebate. Say, I'm very, very sorry. I hope you understand. And hope and pray that you, within 3 years, are able to get back to the entry level that you were at this year. Because it's probably going to take that long for you guys to recover from this. Now, I'm going to take a break. When I come on back, I do want to talk about both sides here because there are a lot of lobs. And once again, I understand the core of this is everyone's up frustrated and angry. I get that. But we need to kind of tone it down a little bit on this, okay? I'll talk in a second. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Whether you rent or own a home, we all likely have nightmare stories about home maintenance, or what I like to call home cringe moments. Join me, your host, Katie Shahan, for the Yarlow Home Cringe Show. See what home cringe-worthy stories we have for you each week as we talk with local home service pros. Learn best practices for winterizing your home or what to look for after a hailstorm. Listen to the Yarlow Home Cringe Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. or on your favorite podcast app.
When a drunk driver hit my car, the structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That's it. That's the ad. I don't think I need to add anything else, but I'll gladly mention their sales team is attentive and friendly, their service department is the best in the state, and their vehicles, you can put a lot of faith in the quality and safety of a Toyota vehicle. The structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That says it all. Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Hey, it's Tom. Since 2009, All Energy Solar has been providing solar energy solutions to customers. With fully licensed electricians and installers, you can be sure that your solar installation will go smoothly. The team at All Energy Solar understands that every customer is unique. They'll take the time to survey and understand your property to find a solar solution that works for you. One of the biggest advantages of going solar is the opportunity to take advantage of the many solar incentives available. But it can often be confusing to know what you're qualified for. All Energy Solar professionals will help you find out what savings you can apply for and even help with your applications. This is especially important since many rebate programs have limited capacity and are first come, first serve. So it's important to have a professional on your side who will make sure you get every eligible rebate. Get a free no obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists by calling 800-620-3370. or visit allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. You can hear it a little bit still there. This is my Joe Bluth voice. There's going to be a truck pull coming into Wyndham. You know, that sort of thing. I can get away with that.
Yeah, I get these really bad at night, too. Everyone's getting these horrible allergies. Obviously, it's got to be due to the weather.
I think everyone, no one had to do any yard work forever. I've mowed my lawn twice since July to actually then I get out there and, you know, stir up dirt and do gardening and stuff like that. Yeah, and it's the mushrooms, dude. Have you noticed the mushrooms are up with a force all of a sudden again?
Yeah.
Started raining. Also, the mushrooms came up. I think that has something to do with it. Anyway, so let's go to the two squabbling sides of the Twin Cities Marathon debate. Now, I put out there a post yesterday morning where I was, and frankly, I was as stunned as everyone else. This is a shock. But I made this point because I know this from knowing runners, even the most seasoned runners have trained for at least 2 months in the warmer conditions. And then there's, of course, the race liability issue. I thought that was something. If this is a liability issue, don't they sign that they're not going to sue the race if there's a health problem? I was wondering if this was a volunteer issue, because obviously then if it is a running thing and you're going to run this and you need to have like double the water stations, do you have enough volunteers for that? You might not. And then I said, you're going to have to reimburse the runners, because I can see that nightmare is going to come knocking on your door. Now, that being said, I immediately got some of the little bit of the both sides of things that were being put out there, that people were kind of taking their sides, that this was the right decision, this was the wrong decision. One of the main ones was Lisa Braun Doubles, who basically is who I find to be absolutely fantastic. She's out of the Bay Area. She's a marketing and PR strategist. And she wrote that a lot of people who have never run a day in 80 plus degree heat and humidity with big opinions about it understood. No. And there were a lot of people who have never. And frankly, Lisa, that to be fair, there's a lot of people who have never run a day in 80 plus degree heat who are all for this as well. And I mean, so if your template is to basically say that people who have never run or don't run should not weigh in on this, well, considering the impact of the community, considering that this is a large moneymaker for the Metro, considering the number of volunteers and the supporters that this has, the impact on the city, I don't know if that's necessarily a fair argument to make. That being said, that was kind of one of the first salvos. Then I had some runner guy who basically called out all the wimps who were canceling. Why would you cancel this race? Why would you cancel it? So it wasn't just, you know, fatsos in front of the TV basically complaining the marathon wasn't on. I want to make sure it's very clear. There were a lot of people that were pro-marathon that were very upset about this. And as a matter of fact, quite a few of them ran the marathon anyway, kind of in spite of the Twin Cities Marathon people, because they basically, you know, said, I've run in this all the time. If you train for a marathon, it's one of the first things you got to be very careful of is that, sure, you get these people who are like run marathons every 2 weeks or so, so they're kind of constantly running that much distance. But most people that run a marathon, they're not running 26 miles before they go run the marathon. They work up their endurance to, you know, 18, 19, maybe even 20 miles, and they get pretty good at that. And then, you know, the day of the marathon, they're kind of pushing their limit to see how much further they can go. Which, by the way, is a hoot with the Twin Cities Marathon, because at mile 16, you start that slow uphill on the St. Paul side of the river, which goes for, 4 miles, 5 miles, a slow uphill run? Delightful. That'll shake a few cobwebs out of the old hangar there. It's also that, considering the nature of when this is, most of the people that will run this have been training through the summer, and so probably have run in relatively warm conditions. Maybe not 90 degrees exactly. But there were some mornings this summer, I guarantee, I saw runners out running. It was 82, 83 already early in the morning. It was god-awful. But there are people out there running because they didn't want to run later on. So I think, first of all, this. Don't imply some people don't have a right to have an opinion on something when we're not talking about whether this is a private person running a race that's nowhere near this town, that it's a major event within the city that has become an iconic part of the fall. That generates tons of business, generates a lot of volunteers, generates a lot of enthusiasm. And so to imply that someone who has not run a marathon doesn't have a right to have an opinion in a marathon, yeah, I don't think that's fair. I had, after I made my post, numerous peoples, particularly one guy named Duke, who I've mentioned before. He's a conservative. He follows me. He and I have had some good discussions, and Duke made the point. He goes, I was an EMT. You know, if you get you, what happens is you get these guys that are overexerting themselves and you do like a rectal thermometer and it gets 108. You're like, we've got to cool this guy down immediately. Heart attacks, heat strokes. These are things that happen, and they happen with fair regularity when it gets hot outside. We've talked about this with the Olympics, too. The Olympics have had a few of the marathons on really hot days. And so that's not been in over the years. And so they've had to kind of accommodate for that because that's obviously a pretty big challenge then when you've got someone who is running in a lot of heat. Not everyone is ready for the heat. So the I think for me, why the decision to cancel this was the right one was the expectation of the numbers of people who would be in the emergency room for the metro wide was somewhere around 700 to 900, which would overwhelm our healthcare system immediately. I mean, you would just with the numbers, if you tried to run this thing, 700 to 900, it would overwhelm the emergency rooms. The medical facilities within the metro would come to a standstill. Yeah, it would not be pretty. And so out of the safety and caution, that seems to be the right case. But whereas I'm not going to necessarily criticize people that canceled it, I'm also not going to criticize the people who are wanting to run it. And maybe the other argument should have been, maybe we run it, but there, as the people check in to run that day, you sit down with them and say, okay, here's what the deal is. Here's the temperatures. You know, we're going to have you sign a secondary liability waiver. And then as well, we want to make sure you understand, if you've not been used to running in the heat like this, you do not want to be this. This is not the first marathon you want to be doing in this. And then you put it on, but just with an extremely pared down, you know, entry field. So that would be the suggestion. Needless to say, a lot of people did run the marathon yesterday. They just didn't do it officially. And a lot of people were criticizing anyone who dared say they shouldn't be able to weigh in on whether or not they canceled the marathon, which I don't know if that was their role either. One last thing I'll say about this, and you're more than welcome, if you've got a thought on this, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. But one last thing I'm going to say is there was one post I saw where this woman said, I tried to run and I started getting cramps in my calves at 5 miles. Okay. One of two things. Either you didn't train at all for this marathon. If at 5 miles you were getting cramps, you didn't train correctly. Or you set yourself up for the race horribly wrong if after 5 miles. Don't get me wrong. Sure, 10, 11, 12 miles. I'd expect people that are running a marathon to start, if it was hot conditions, at that point to start getting cramps and spasms in the legs. I could see that. But if you're at 5 miles in a 26-mile run, 26.2-mile run, if you're 5 miles in, yeah, okay, my gut feeling is that there must be something else going on, that you didn't either train correctly or you did not set yourself up for the race correctly, taking around the right amount of fluids beforehand to where, you know, did you do the office's, you know, carbo loading as you were running, you know, kind of thing, because that's not a good idea. But, you know, if you're getting leg cramps at 5 miles, even on a hot day, then you shouldn't have been running that marathon. And you're only fooling yourself by basically saying, oh, well, see, I was an example, because everyone I've talked to that runs marathons said the same thing. Matt, if she was actually running that marathon, she should have been training, and cramps kicked in. It should have kicked in around 10, 11 miles. So she either did not train or she set herself up for that run that morning in a very bad position to where she was already hurting. But that, once again, is not on anyone else but themselves. So just FYI. I hope they recover from this. I think it's a fantastic event. I really do. But I think you're going to need to move the event. I think you're going to need to reimburse all the runners. And then you're going to have to offer any runner that ran this year or was registered this year a discounted registration rate for next year. Maybe, like I said, in 3 years, you'll be able to recover. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Retirement, it's all about income, your money, making money, while still controlling your principal. If your portfolio has recently taken a big hit, you're not set up for retirement income. We're Ferguson Financial, and that's what we do. We position portfolios to generate retirement income. Learn how it's done. Call us today, 888-429-5569, and check out our retirement income program, Sunday mornings at 9.
How does this sound? Doesn't this sound better? If you've decided to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota instead to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved when someone repurposes your old cabinets, fixtures, and lumber. Think of all the resources saved by diverting those building materials from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota makes it happen for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, funds are available to make the environmentally responsible alternative comparable to a typical demolition. For more information, check out betterfuturesminnesota.com. That's betterfuturesminnesota.com. Or call 612-351-8650. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse in Minneapolis.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go. Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 87, tonight clear with a low around 68, and Tuesday sunny with a high around 82.
Experience the bold flavors of Szechuan and Mandarin cuisine at the Great Wall Restaurant. Indulge in their menu favorites like the hot and sour soup, sesame chicken, and Peking duck. Order for takeout and view the extensive menu at GreatWallyDina.com. Conveniently located just south of 50th and Francine Edina. Again, GreatWallyDina.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Brett, you had someone call in and bring up a point, correct?
Yeah, they were talking about the potential litigation and lawsuits that Twin Cities Marathon could face if you have a bunch of people that maybe end up getting hospitalized due to heat exhaustion or things like that. So maybe that was the thought.
I'm pretty sure there's a liability waiver where they basically, when you run the race, you basically take into account that you could have a health problem, and that the race is, we're not liable for that. That's on you. That being said, we are a litigious society, if anything. And my guess is even with that, they would probably sue them if that was the case. That's why I said what you could have done is had a secondary waiver that said it's going to be a really hot day. When they came in to check in for the race on Sunday morning, it's going to be a really hot day. You're basically understanding we're going to run this race on a very hot day. That means you're taking into account your own health here. And really, I think I guess the question is, was the race too concerned that that would not be enough, that that would, that they'd still be susceptible. I don't know. I would also make an argument. I sometimes it's easy. The solution is the easiest one. Maybe they just couldn't have the volunteers. That sure they would have run the thing if they could, but you know they couldn't get the volunteers because you know they already had volunteered out there. All the volunteers were already dispersed, and they couldn't get enough more volunteers to do more water breaks. I got Razor One Brow chimed in. I ran Grandma's Marathon 1 year with 79 degrees and a dew point of 68. It was awful, but I was fine. So you know there are people that do it. And trust me, there are marathon runners down that are training right now in Houston, in Miami, in all these places. Now, I'm not saying that if you took someone from Minneapolis and put them down in Miami, it'd be the same thing. No, of course not. But you don't train for these things like a week ahead of time. This is something that's for months and months and months you're doing this, which means that even if you were in Minnesota, you just ran through that a lot of those summer days, mornings or evenings to basically go run. I remember my wife, she would run at night sometimes. You know, she'd like get up at like 3 or 4 in the morning because it's going to be a really hot day. So she took advantage of the coolest part of the day and got up and ran an extraordinary amount of miles in the early morning. A lot of people do that, but I don't know. I think, like I said, I think that I understand the concern for the community if all of a sudden you overwhelm the healthcare system with 700 to 900 you know, heat stroke, heart attack cases. I mean, I don't know if you have enough ambulances in the metro even to deal with something like that. So that makes a viable argument. But the problem is I don't think this is going to be a one and done. I think you're going to have another year where it's going to be like this. And so you're going to have to figure out a way around this problem for future Twin Cities marathons. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. One thing really quick, and I just wanted to mention this, and obviously I imagine I'm going to be talking more about this unless there's a story that breaks here before I get done. The Minneapolis City Council has rejected a $145,000 worker comp payment for Minneapolis Police Department Sergeant Andrew Patel. He was one of the guys that was involved in the beatings of Jaleel Stallings. So finally, someone has said, oh yeah, you shouldn't get workers comp for basically hurting your arm when you beat someone for unjustified reasons in the street of Minneapolis. So And by the way, one city council member did vote to give the guy his. I think we should find out who that is. Actually, I bet. Let me see here. Vetau, V-E-T-A-W. He was the only yes. Koski, Chavez, Wansley, and Johnson all voted no. So I don't know what the process is. You can sue, I guess. But, you know. Yeah. I would love to hear what your case is going to be, sir, because I know what defense is going to do if you sue the city. I know exactly what they're going to lead with as far as some camera footage, which I don't think you want them to see. So 952-946-6205. Crime update. So we talked a few weeks ago about the incident up in a Duluth bar, at the Rustic Bar in Duluth, where what had happened was, as it was told by the bartender, this woman got into a fight with another woman. Two men broke it up and pushed her out, and she got hurt somehow. The bartender refused to call for help, and so she eventually stumbled down to her daughter's house. What you find out later is two women were fighting, but then the two men jumped on the other woman and beat her in the bar, and this is on camera. And then as she was lying there bleeding, she was begging for an ambulance to be called. The bar said no. But by the way, soon to be under new ownership. The bar said no. And basically, she ended up stumbling down to her daughter's house. Well, this is getting... Duluth police do have a reputation of trying to cover up mistakes. Remember the guy that shot through the door of the one gun place up there years ago? They do have a tendency of not following up. Two men accused of attacking a woman at a Duluth bar last month are being charged with misdemeanor assault only. The update into the investigation at the Rustic Bar on Tuesday, September 12th, was announced by Duluth Police Department on Friday, stating that the St. Louis County Attorney's Office has determined not to pursue gross misdemeanor or felony charges in the specific incident. Instead, the case was passed on to the Duluth City Attorney's Office, who is charged Mylon Griak, 56, and Scott Rebold, 41, with misdemeanor fifth-degree assault, which is nothing. Basically, that's the lowest charge you can make to still have a charge. and I want to make sure we understand this. These are two grown men, 156, 141, who beat on a woman in a bar. Real men. Yes. Yes, you jackasses. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about your inadequate manhood. Wow. They beat on this. In the video, it's like I said, you see it. These two men beating on this woman. Wow. The two men have been issued citations pending court hearings, but under state law, they cannot be taken into custody on fifth-degree assault charges. In a statement to the news, the St. Louis County Attorney's Office said, based on the information reviewed, the incident does not contain any character chargeable crimes that rise to the level of the St. Louis County Attorney's Office jurisdiction felony level in this incident. For example, felony assault in the third degree requires proof of substantial bodily harm. It added, the evidence presented does not support the charges at that level. While the incident is unfortunate and serious, the proper legal jurisdiction for any charging is with the Duluth City Attorney. The announcement from the Duluth Police Department that the men would be prosecuted on less serious misdemeanor charges sparked a fury of complaints. Pictures of the victim showing the extent of her injury she suffered in the assault were shared on social media afterwards, or the GoFundMe created by the victim's daughter claims the victim has post-concussion syndrome as well as traumatic brain injury. Now, I want to stop right there. Traumatic brain injury, you say? That you're saying that a traumatic brain injury is not substantial bodily harm? Because that sounds like substantial. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, brain injury to me sounds kind of screams substantial bodily harm. Seems to say, yeah, that's kind of the definition of the term is brain injury, substantial bodily harm. I mean, isn't that exactly what's happened to, I think, was it multiple people in the last few years where one punch and the guy has gone down and he's hit his head on the concrete or hit his head on the sidewalk and he gets severe brain damage and they die. And so what you're saying, it seems to be, is that, sure, they could have had a traumatic brain injury, but since she didn't die, it's no worse than a bruise. Well, that seems like a pretty thin line of, you know, delineation there, doesn't it? You know, is she alive still? Okay, well, then that's just two kids on the playground slap fighting. Oh, she died? Oh, then now we got the serious, now we're serious about it. Wow. The announcement, lent with a little bit of upset people, needless to say. The daughter alleges the mother was kicked and stomped in the head by men while she was on the ground. In their initial release, police said the two men involved in the incident were trying to break up the fight between the victim and another woman. They issued another statement on the ensuing days after viewing surveillance footage of the incident, saying that two men actually assaulted the victim. Duluth PD, out of their benevolence, mind you, have said they're not going to charge the woman for being used as a stomping machine. How generous of you. You are saints. Wow. Really? Wow. Keith Ellison, I think, needs to take a look at this. Because if you have a traumatic brain injury, then this was not a minor incident. You know, a fifth degree assault is some kids in a school hallway throwing punches on each other. It's not stomping on someone's head. And since the beginning of this case, it's been screaming cover up from the beginning. And now it seems as if there's this attempt here. Don't get me wrong. This woman has got a airtight alibi. She's going to be owning a bar here. Because I don't know if you remember, like I said, the bartender, she was asking the bartender to call an ambulance, and the bartender refused to call an ambulance. And so she had to go stumbling out of the bar. But needless to say, the fact that they lied and the fact that they did nothing to help this woman, which is all on camera, that bar is going to be under new ownership here before too long. That being said, it is clear something went on here. Something really bad. Something criminal. And I get the impression from the Duluth PD that the main job here is to CYA, And if I'm not mistaken, the woman here who is the victim is also a minority. So, yeah, I'm getting the impression there's a little bit of that going on here. I think the city council, I think the city attorney needs to step aside and ask the, you know, Keith Ellison for his legal advice on this and what he would charge with. And if it comes back with anything other than fifth degree assault, then the St. Louis County attorney is going to need to explain to other people why they saw something else in that video that the you know, attorney general for the state did indeed see. So I think that's the case on that. I also want to come back. I'm going to take a break. When I come on back, I want to touch once again on the Granite Falls shooting, because there was an incident there. And once again, there doesn't seem to be any answers coming forward on why exactly this guy was shot by police. I'll talk about that in a second. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Are you remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Hi, this is Philip Anthony, the host of the Downright Upright Show, the place to go to hear out loud and proud what Minnesotans are thinking. I interview many interesting people and listen to their thoughts on how they plan to better our community and to hear their opinions on current events. Join us and get in on the conversation. You can listen to my podcast, The Downright Upright Show with Philip Anthony, wherever you listen to podcasts or at am950radio.com. So come and join me and continue being fantabulous.
From chasing fall colors on a scenic road trip to epic hikes, fall festivals, apple orchards, or long hours on a patio, fall in Minnesota offers clear blue skies, an endless tapestry of color, and unmatched beauty, perfect for setting the stage for any colorful adventure. Plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune in this Saturday morning right here on AM 950 for the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show from 7 to 8 a.m. We'll be discussing the world of volunteer plants as well as perennials you might want to include in your next year's garden. Our guest is urban orchardist Susan Poisner, and we'll answer your garden questions. That's all this Saturday morning right here on AM 950 from 7 to 8 a.m. Tell a friend and let's grow together.
By the way, Brett, you want to clear out congestion real fast? I got 2 for you. A spicy pho bowl, Southeast Asian cuisine. Indian food. I did Indian food on Saturday night. Like a charm, man.
Cleared it right up, slept well and everything, right?
Oh, man. That is just that. I mean, that's one of the great things about world cuisine is you discover you think chicken soup takes care of you. Go to a little chicken masala, spicy. There you go, man. Delicious. Thank you. Thank you. I love this town, man. I love this town and the opportunities that we have here. 952-946-6205. So a trend I have seen, a trend I have noticed when there is a police shooting, generally fairly quickly after a police shooting, if the victim is guilty of something that justified the shooting, the news media is wallpapered with, here's the body cam footage. Here you can see this was a justified shooting. This is everything. You know, this was good quality police work. Amen. Good deal. Fine. When all of a sudden you don't hear that much about things after a few days, that should be the case. And I pegged this one last week, and I want more answers on this. A 23-year-old Granite Falls man shot by officers in West Central Minnesota this week is listed in critical condition on Friday morning, according to a spokesperson from the HCMC in Minneapolis. Dylan McCade Anderson Butler, who was shot by a member of the cooperative enforcement effort Drug Task Force has been listed in stable condition immediately following the Wednesday shooting. He was wanted by the State Department of Corrections for alleged violations of his supervised release. Okay, so all right, so we're not exactly talking the crime of the century. Some violations of his supervised release. Not saying it's good, but it's not exactly like he's, you know, injecting infants with fentanyl or something like that. You know, there's a difference here. But it sounds like he's violated his supervised release, alleged violations, and that's their term, alleged violations. So it sounds like they're following up on seeing if there were alleged violations. The task force attempted to apprehend Anderson Butler on Wednesday while he was in a vehicle, but he fled on foot into the Granite Falls City Cemetery, Southeast 35th Street. Chippewa County Sheriff Derek Olson said that Anderson Butler, who did have a weapon, refused to follow commands and was shot during his apprehension. Okay, now, what did we not hear there? Was he threatening the police with a weapon and henceforth was shot? Because that's a pretty big difference. I don't know what weapon he had. He could have had a gun on him. He could have had a knife. But are we to the point, once again, already to where, Matt, you know, if they would have shot him what they did, he could have turned around and turned his gun in with his mutant powers into a ray beam, and he could have wiped out the entire town of Grand Falls. That's good quality police work. You know, is that what we're about to get? Because the first thing I thought of when I read this story, I'm like, okay, I don't hear the justification to shoot the guy. If he didn't face the officer, did he pull the weapon? If he did, I mean, once again, that all bets are off. You know, officer safety understood. No court in the land's going to try him. But you're not saying that he threatened the officers with a weapon. You're saying he had a weapon on him, which are two very different things. You also say he was refusing to follow commands and was shot during his apprehension. So, did you shoot? Was he running and you shot him because you just wanted convenience? Where did the bullet enter him? And I think that that's a very big question. If he was shot in the back, then what are you doing here? Because then it sounds like what happened is you shot him because you just didn't want to run. Well, I'll stop him. Bam. Got him. We have some questions about alleged violations on your supervised release. Sorry for the bullet wound. That doesn't sound like it's justified. It doesn't sound like it's justified in the least bit in any capacity in any decent society whatsoever. So we have some questions here that need to have answering. Was the guy threatening the police? Was the guy shot from behind? Did you shoot him because you just won't want... I did not want to run that day. I did not have my running shoes on. I was, you know, he was speedy. Emergency medical personnel attended to him before he was taken to HCMC. Court records show Anderson Butler was sentenced to over 5 years of prison for felony drug charges in March. A DOC spokesman says he has extensive past offenses related to drugs and was most recently released from prison to supervised release in July. Okay. Well, I'm not saying this guy was a saint, but you still don't just shoot people. We have to find out what happened in the case. We just have to. Olson said Friday that Anderson Butler was picked up for a DOC violation severed time in Chippewa County Jail for July 27th to August 15th. He said Anderson Butler, a longtime resident of Granite Falls, but the July arrest made it a residence in Montevideo. The State Bureau of Criminal Apprehension had begun an investigation and is expected to provide further details this week, as spokesman said on Friday. We need some answers. And once again, the guy basically turns, pulls a weapon, you know, understood. You know, police got to keep themselves safe. But if this guy was running away from you and just because you didn't want to track him down, someone put a bullet in his back, well, someone needs to be fired. And someone's going to be paying a lot of money for someone for a wrongful shooting. Hour 2, that's coming up next.
I'm the the host of Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth. In this radio show and podcast, we have conversations with heart-centered thought leaders to explore their pathway to becoming free, and we will shine a light on what has been hidden, often in plain sight, what they pay attention to, and how it has transformed them and others into a higher level thinking and feeling state during this time of great change. Explore being consciously aware, authentically free, and courageously sovereign with us, Sundays at 11 a.m. on AM 950, and check out our early release episodes that drop Thursdays on your favorite podcast apps.
I'm Rachel Schroman, owner of Schroman Law, and I believe you deserve information. Our firm offers free quarterly estate planning seminars at our office in St. Paul. At these seminars, you can learn the basics of estate planning from an attorney to help you determine which estate planning documents will meet your needs and goals in an efficient and cost-effective manner. You can learn more and register at our website.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT. Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.